Well, as you're being seated, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the 7th chapter. Today I'm excited. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today on this greatest day in history? Praise God. I'll tell you, man, that was a dismal clap for an Easter Sunday. I mean, come on, this is the greatest day that we celebrate in history. Praise God. So I had you turn to the book of Hebrews in the 7th chapter. And as you're turning to Hebrews, the title of this morning's Easter message is Remembering the Empty Tomb. You see, in our lives, in our society, dating back to several hundred thousands of years, we as humans have always had something that we've done to signify the life of somebody. Now, if you go right up the road on Waterman Avenue here in San Bernardino, you'll find a cemetery. And at those cemeteries or at those places of burials, you'll find that people, when they're buried there, they put a marker, they put a headstone, or they put a tombstone there that's something of the state that says, here lies, or in loving memory, or rest in peace, so forth and so on, to signify that a person, that particular person came, that particular person lived their life, and that particular person has died. But today, we're going to talk about the idea of remembering the empty tomb, because, you know, you and I, when our time comes and our time has passed, and we die and leave this place, we may have a marker, we may have a monument or an urn or something of that nature, but the fact is that we're going to leave this place, and there will be something, a remembrance or a legacy behind us. But there's something that I want to point out to you, and that is, no matter where you go, no matter how hard you look, no matter how many different stories or accounts you read, it does not matter. You will not find a marker or a stone that says, here lies Jesus Christ. Because death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him, the tomb could not withstand the power of God. And so today, this Easter Sunday, the greatest day that we celebrate in history, you know, the revolution and July 4th and our nation's holidays and every other thing, those are wonderful days, but this is the day we remember and we celebrate, the day that nobody else has come and done this since and will ever do it again, and that is the resurrection of our Lord in Jesus Christ. And we have got to remember in our lives, we have got to remember the empty tomb and what the empty tomb means to us. So when we talk today, Pastor Dan, myself, Pastor Jim, we're going to bring three simple thoughts to you today about what the resurrection means to us and things for us to take away, so that not just on Easter Sunday do we remember the empty tomb, but rather every day of our life as we go about life, we can remember what the resurrection means to us. And so number one this morning, the resurrection means to us completion. It means that it is complete. Jesus Christ has come and has died and has risen again. And that means to you and I, completion. Now, I had you turn to Hebrews in the 7th chapter. And let's go ahead and read in verse number 23 of Hebrews in the 7th chapter. Verse number 23, it says, also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. You see, the Bible right here in Hebrews in the 7th chapter is talking about Jesus Christ, our great high priest. This is something to you and I that may be foreign or unfamiliar. You see, we don't live in a time of high priest. Yes, we do live in a time of representatives. And what a high priest was a representative to God, from God to man and from man to God. It was the middleman between mankind and God. You see, all the way dating back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell in sin because they took of the fruit of the knowledge of tree and good and evil, there was a gap or a chasm between man and God. And to serve that gap, there were high priests or representatives who God used to speak to the people, and God used to represent himself to the people and the people to God. And by way of mere mortality of mankind, there were many high priests. Why? Because nobody has been gifted the ability to live forever. And so our representative to Jesus Christ was continually changing. You think about it much like this in our day and age. We have representatives all over the place. We have representatives in Washington, D.C. We have congressmen and senators. We have representatives on the state level. We have mayors and councilmen. We have a president that is limited by law or limited by their terms of office. And so what happens is, as time progresses, as time goes on, our representatives continually change, much like the Catholic Church has has a representative called the Pope. And as the Pope goes and as the Pope one comes to the next, they bring their different ideas and they bring their different mindsets and they bring their different lives. Much like in the political world, when one president comes, they bring their agenda. And the next president comes, they bring their agenda. So it's continually evolving and continually changing. But Jesus Christ, being our great high priest, is our cornerstone, is our rock. You see, we don't have to worry about things when it comes to us and God continually changing. Why? Here's why. Verse number 24. But he, speaking of Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchanged priesthood. You see, no longer do you and I have to worry about what is our relationship with God going to be like. What is it going to be like? Is it going to be the same as it is tomorrow? Is it going to be the same tomorrow as it is next year? Listen, the world is going to change. Your lives are going to change. Your family are going to change. Your careers are going to change. The politics of our day and age are going to change. Everything in this world is changed. I heard the statement one time that the only constant is change, but the truth is now is the only constant is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he continues forever. And he is our eternal representative. In verse number 25, it says that he is also, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, Jesus Christ is now our great high priest, our wonderful representative. There is no change. The Bible tells us in Hebrews in the 13th chapter, we sang it this morning, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he continues forever, he is able to save to the uttermost. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that can stop Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can hold the power of God down. Why? Because death, the final hurdle that mankind had to face, Jesus conquered. And Jesus conquered not by the power of a man standing at his grave, but rather Jesus completed the need for mankind to have a Savior. Why? Because by the Spirit of God, he was resurrected from the dead to bring us closer to God, to bring us to God. And now you and I, the Bible says, has a great representative, an eternal priesthood, one that will never change, one that has completed what needed to be completed, and he makes intercession, he makes mediation, and he stands next to God on the seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for you and I on our side. Jesus has completed what needed to be completed, and now Jesus is on your side. And I'll tell you what, there is something great about the completion of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. Pastor Dan?
Amen. God is so good. Remembering the empty tomb, what the resurrection means to all of us. Number one, it means completion. Our life is now locked in with Jesus Christ forever. Second thing that it means to us today is it means power. You see, if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead yet, then death would still have power over Jesus. Why? Because, hey, he would still be in the grave today. See, if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead, then that would mean that the devil still has power here on the earth. And yet, because Jesus was raised again, he has power over death, and he also has power over the devil. He took back the keys of the kingdom, and now he has ascended on high. And one more thing, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then that would mean that we are still in our sins. Sin would still have power on the earth, and then we might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because tomorrow we die. And yet we have the power of God, the resurrection power over sin. Now we're no longer a dirty old rank sinner like we used to be. No, now God has cleaned us up. He's given us a brand new life. He calls us a saint, and now we are in Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, complete in him by the power of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, we're going to take a look at verse number 1 through verse number 4. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 1 through verse number 4, it says this: Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Everybody say the gospel. Well, that's about half of you guys. Everybody else, come on, join in with us. Everybody say the gospel. See, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're proclaiming today. See, if Jesus Christ was dead, if he was still in the tomb, then he had no power, and there is no good news for us to proclaim today. Oh, but listen, Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And now we have the best news that ever could be spoken. The church has the best news that possibly could be preached. And we can't stay silent about it. Take a look at verse number 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God. Now, hold on a second, because see, Jesus was born in the lineage of David. And yet there were many people who were born in the lineage of David. Many men and women had come before Jesus Christ that were in the line of David. And yet something separated Jesus. Something declared Jesus to be different. Something made Jesus special. What was it? Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. See, it was in the resurrection that we find out that this is no ordinary man. This is not somebody who was raised by someone else, as Pastor Luke beautifully expressed. No, this is Jesus, raised again by the Holy Spirit, declared to be the Son of God, and now he has the power over death, the power over the devil, the power over sin, and he gives it to us. Are you listening? Jesus told the disciples, if I ascend on high, I will send the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. See, that's what separates us from all the other world religions. Some people could say, well, you have a holy book, we have a holy book. You have a holy man, we have a holy man. You've got followers, we've got followers. You have places of worship, we have places of worship. But the one thing that separates us is we say, your holy man died and he's still there in the grave. Our holy man was no ordinary holy man. No, this is Jesus, the Son of God, resurrected, and now he's seated at the right hand of God and continues forever. You're there in the book of Romans, turn back to the book of Acts chapter 4. Jesus now gives his power to us. He now has given us the Holy Spirit. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that's resident on the inside of every believer. Those that are born of the Spirit of God have this power. Let's take a look at it. We see the disciples, now apostles, now sent ones, now the church of the living God, preaching and teaching and going out and doing great things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse number 33. Look at what it says. And with great, what? Oh, come on. That was weak. And with great, what? Power. The apostles gave witness to what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. See, as they preached the word of God, God backed them up with miracles, signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, because that same power that raised up Jesus from the dead now lives in us. Now we have that power to preach. Now we have that power to live a godly life. Now we have that power to have a great family. Now we have that power to have a great business. Now we have that power to be a great witness for Jesus in everything that we do. Come on, let's give God a praise as Pastor Jim comes.
Powerful. Isn't God good? I tell you. So we're talking about a wonderful subject. We're talking about understanding and seeing and remembering the empty tomb. Every day I've got to remember that the tomb is empty. Every day I have problems. Every day situations come on my life. Every day, and you do too, have pressures that come. Every day you question how you're going to make it. Every day you wonder where it's going to come from, that which you need. You have to remember every day that the tomb is empty. Number one, Jesus is not somebody who's just passing through. He has completed the job. Number two, it is the power of God that raised him from the dead and proved that he's the Son of God. Yes, but it is also the power of God that dwells on the inside of you. I love it like this. Jesus tells us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, warns us of all the things that we should not be doing so that we don't travel and fall into pits of this world and find ourselves a derelict from the things of God. But he also empowers us with the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that wants to take you and do great and mighty things in the future that God has for you. God has a plan for each and every one of us in here. My part, number three, is the word hope. Very important for us. There's three things a wise man wrote that a man needs to have in order to be happy. Number one, he needs to have something to do. Number two, he needs to have someone to love. And number three, he needs to have hope in tomorrow. And Jesus Christ is the greatest hope. Let me explain what I mean. When I was a young boy, as a teenager, as a baseball player, I was a professional baseball player at age 17 years old with an athletics organization. I had great hope that maybe my giftings and my ability could take me to some place to be successful. It didn't work out. In my 20s, I was released and found myself in jobs trying to make a living. Then I found myself in foolish hope, hoping that I could probably have maybe you thought this too, a relative somewhere way back someplace that you don't know that may die and leave you enough money to be successful. Has anybody ever hoped that in your life? You know I'm talking to you. That was foolish and silly. And some of us even went foolish and more foolish and silly. We had hope in silly things like gambling. Remember when the lotto came out, I wasn't much of a Christian in those days. I could hardly wait to get $2 down in hope and then sit for a while dreaming about what would happen if I won the lotto. Don't smile at me all that religious like you've never tried it and never thought about it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, if you win, you better tithe. But that kind of hope is silly and that kind of hope is foolish and leads us nowhere. Because you see, when you have hope in yourself, you have hope in your ability, you have hope in your talent, hope in your gifting, hope in your intelligence, hope in your degrees, hope in your connections, hope in your job, hope in your retirement programs, hope in your neighborhood, hope in the government, hope in somebody else doing something on your behalf, you have got false and foolish hope. But when you put your hope in a God who cannot fail, because the tomb is empty, now it's no longer based on your feelings. It's not any longer based on your intelligence. It's not based on whether or not you have degrees, or the smartest person, or the talented, or the gifted, or the most beautiful person. You are now put your hope in a God who can come alongside you, take you further than you ever thought you could go, accomplishing things you never thought you could accomplish, fulfilling the plan that God has for you, ending up in a place where you're totally and completely blessed, wondering how in the world did you ever get there? You got there because you had hope in God. I'm telling you now, without hope in God, there is no future. In Galatians, the second chapter, Paul writes these words. I'll pop them up on the overhead for you. And he writes these words that are so amazingly dynamic. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Every one of us that are born of the Spirit of God, and if you're not today, you're in the right place. You will be before you leave. But every one of us that are born of the Spirit of God, you have been crucified with Christ. And when he went to the cross and he died, your old man died also. At least it should have been. And then he comes along and he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And what we fail is we try to do it ourselves. We live in ourselves. We think about ourselves. We think about our own ability. We think about our own talents and giftings. We think about our being in the right place at the right time in order for us to have a future, when in fact it's really all about hope in the God that can make that work for you. Open the doors that no man can open and close the doors that no man can close. That's the God you celebrate today. He's not just an empty tomb for himself, proving that he's God. He didn't just have the power on him to raise him. He didn't complete the job just for that. But while you're here on earth, he wants to bless you, give you purpose, give you destiny, and he wants to give you a hope that far surpasses any thinking that you could ever have or anything you possibly could accomplish in yourself. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, there's a life you are going to live here in the flesh. He says, in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God. If you don't have your faith in the Son of God, when problems come, when trials arise, when pressures take over, when situations you cannot figure out, if you don't have your faith in God on how you're going to make it, how you're going to make it with your kids, how you're going to make it on the job, how you're going to make it with your finances, how you're going to make it when you get older, how you're going to make it when you get married, how you're going to make it with your kids. If you don't know how you're going to make it, I'm telling you, you're in the right place. Get off of living for yourself and live for Christ. Put him in there as the answer to the future. I'm a couple of years away from 70 years old. I've never had more hope and faith in my entire life for the future. And I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about while I'm here on the planet. You say, why? Why would you do that? It's not because I don't hurt. It's not because I'm not tired. It's not because I don't enjoy laying down. It's not because I don't like naps. It's not because I don't feel. My feelings have nothing to do with what God can do for me if I can believe him. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. Let me say it again to you. All things are possible to him that believes. Not some things, but all things are possible to him that believes. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Last couple of verses in the book of the third chapter of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 20. It's an interesting book. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to Pastor Dan's part, to the power that works in us because Pastor Luke's part, because he completed the job. But listen to this. Now to him who is able to do not just what you think, exceedingly, abundantly, above or more than all that you could ask or think. Man, don't tell me that's not hope. Don't tell me that. I've got this thing thought out, and quite frankly, I don't see myself going very far. Well, get off yourself and live in faith in him and watch him who can do anything, who created the heavens, created the earth, holds the moon in its right place, puts the stars in the sky, has the sun at its right distance so we don't burn up. He's the one who walks on water, opens the blind eyes, raises the dead. He's our God. He's Almighty God. Almighty. What is it that's too difficult in your life for him? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. What is it in your life that's too difficult? The tomb is empty. I tell you, he is worthy. Some of you need breakthrough in what you're hoping for. In the Old Testament, they marched around Jericho 7 times. There was no breakthrough until they opened their mouth and shouted. Now listen to me. You listen to me. You listen to what I'm saying. Some of you have been believing for this and that, healings and life, and don't know how you're going to make it. You need a breakthrough. Today is your breakthrough. If you'll be as silly as those people marching around Jericho 7 times and then giving a shout, some of you are too conservative. Well, I won't do that. It doesn't make sense. Hello? You're going to have a real hard time with God because God's way beyond our common sense. Some of you need to stand to your feet, open your mouth, clap your hands, jump in place, because you got hope for tomorrow. And let me tell you something. There's a breakthrough that you need to shout about. Stand to your feet and give them a shout and break through today in hope. Jesus! 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 What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Woo! Mama, mama, mama. Didn't that feel good? You need to shout during the week, Jesus! Man.